Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to answer some of your gardening quandaries. And the podcast has an international feel this week, because later on I'll be joined by Marcel van Bemd from Florist in Holland, one of the top gerber plant breeders in the world. My thanks to Thompson & Morgan, sponsors of this podcast. Well, we had some much-needed rain, and I like to water ahead of rain. I did get some of my garden pretty well watered before it rained this week. But if you've got a place that's pretty shaded, or you're worried about a plot which is a bit dry, then have a look at our gardening spread in the Sun TV magazine this coming weekend, because we're talking about that subject. And there are plants you can grow, and there are things that you can do to make plots look a little bit more attractive when they're in quite deep shade. Got a very nice picture too from Capel Manor College of their fairy woodland walk. You know, this fairy thing is really taking off, and the kids were having a great time. So if you want to have a look at that, just buy the paper on Saturday. At Gardeners World Live, I was interested to hear from Paul of Brookfield Nurseries that he found showing the miniature hostas much easier, because they produce lots of leaves, and if a sneaky slug comes in and eats a hole or two, you could take one leaf off without it being missed. On the bigger plants, of course, bigger varieties, if you have one leaf that is badly eaten and you take it off, well, with fewer big leaves, it leaves a bit of a gap. And it's quite interesting the way that breeders go for things which are bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they get to a point which is so large that they suddenly reverse and pay attention to little things. Later on in the programme, we'll be speaking to Marcel, and much the same has happened with gerbera. They grew them bigger and bigger and bigger, and now there's a fascination for little tiny plants. I was interested too to hear about a new double-petalled sunflower which will come into the cut flower trade fairly soon, called Provence. It's come from the same stable as Sunrich, which is one of our most popular cut flower sunflowers, so it'll be very interesting to see what happens to that. I also saw a foxglove grows about 18 inches to 2 feet tall, but is multi-branching. You sow the seed late autumn or even early spring, it flowers the same year, and goodness, it looks as if it isn't half going to flower. It'll be 2019, I think, before we see that on sale. And with a bit of luck, I'll be able to trial it next year and speak from first-hand experience. But what about today? What do we need to do? Well, with all that very hot, dry weather, if you've got recently planted trees, we need to try and get some moisture down to the root. And a good way to do that is to get a thick polythene bag, tie the top to the trunk of the tree, make a pin prick in the corner of the bag that's right up against the trunk where it goes down into the soil, and then fill the bag with water. The water drips from that pin prick hole, hits the trunk, and then actually runs down the root and penetrates really deep in the soil. That's where you need to get the moisture. There's no point putting a can or two on the top, doesn't get down. But that drip system could save the life of lots of trees. I'm particularly worried about one or two recently planted trees down my street. And so in the evening I go out and make sure they get a drop or two of extra water. There's plenty else to do. If you run a hoe through the soil with those hot temperatures, then the weeds are killed in a minute. And you certainly want to make sure that any moisture there is about goes to your plants rather than to the weeds. So do please keep the hoe moving down the rows of vegetables and that kind of thing. Dahlias are growing very fast, and they of course need some support, particularly the taller kinds for cut flower. So get one or two stakes or stout canes in position and just loop a string round them so that they've got that support right from the beginning. If they're in flower borders and you do that now, the support will be hidden by the leaves, so it won't distort the appearance in any way. But a tie in time saves nine, I promise you. So often, I've just thought, well, I'll leave that tying job for until tomorrow, and then overnight there's a strong wind and over it goes, and I curse myself for not doing the job at the right time. So, yes, don't do that, whatever you do. Well, I think I'm quite privileged today to introduce you to one of the world's leading specialists in the growing of gerbera, Marcel van Vemde. Now, Marcel, how are you today?
I am absolutely perfect. I just landed in England at Birmingham and drove down to Stoneleigh Park for the HDA exhibition for tomorrow and Wednesday.
And we had a pretty good day last Friday when I was on the nursery in Ellesmere. Now, could you set the scene for my listeners? Who are Florist and what do they do?
Florist is a company specialised in the breeding, selection and multiplication of gerberas. That means that we are trying to breed new varieties, which we are then going to multiplicate and sell to our growers around the world. We are doing that for a little bit over 40 years and exporting our material to 120 countries nowadays around the world.
170 countries?
120.
What a small world, Marcel. Eh?
Yeah, correct.
Can you give us any idea of numbers at all? Or?
Numbers in the sense, if you look at, I don't say, let's say, very detailed numbers. What I would like to say is that in the gerbera world, which is quite a specialized world, we are by far the biggest supplier of young plants with a market share of about 70% around the world.
So if somebody nips into a garden centre and buys a bunch of gerbera, chances are they pass through your company's hands.
Well over 70% chance that they are from us.
Now let's talk a bit about the different types. A lot of them are grown under glass as cut flowers, aren't they?
Yeah.
Can you give me an indication of proportions? I mean, we've got cut flowers under glass. We've got those grown as pot plants.
So cut flowers is all on the glass. There's not any cut flowers produced or on the shade net or in the complete open. It's one of the top five most sold cut flower lines around the world, so it is quite a popular flower. And you have them in as well standard gerberas, which I think everybody knows, the around 12 centimeter big flowers, but very popular for the last 10 years to be used in the mixed bouquets mainly is the mini gerberas, which also go a lot to the UK. And these are about 7-8 centimeters in diameter.
So we're talking about the flower size there.
Yeah, just the flower size.
You gave me some of those little mini flowers. And with great care I brought them home on the plane. And they've just been given to a young lady here in the office. And she's absolutely charmed with them. Some of them have a dark centre, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's called. The new line is called the Piccolinis. Again, trying to make a link with the size of the flowers, which are even smaller. And they're quite pretty. And what we see is that people just find them cute and like them. And it's taking off also nicely. So of course, as a breeder, you also, besides the big lines you have, you try to introduce some niches, some novelties. So we're trying that as well. And Piccolinis is one example of that.
Well, you've certainly done that, I think, as far as I'm concerned. And then you've got pot ones, the small pot plant gerbera, which again are grown under glass, presumably.
Yeah, if you look at the pot plants, there are a few different types, but the indoor pot gerbera, which I think a lot of people know because it's also one of the top five commodity lines in supermarkets, it's a big, big article. It's really in the hundreds of millions of plants sold every year around the world. It's a very nice product because it brings instant joy into your room.
Hundreds of millions, yeah.
Yeah, it's enormous numbers. It's enormous numbers. And especially in the US, it's such a big article. But also in Europe, they're doing well.
So that then brings me to the garden, gerbera, which is the one I really like. You started me off, must be what, 7 or 10 years ago, growing the smaller flowered garvinia, and we had school children growing them.
Yeah. Now, the story goes back over 20 years ago when we said, as gerbera breeder, yeah, it's nice what we're doing for indoors, but is it possible for us to develop something for outdoors? Because it's a very big market, big opportunities, and nothing really exists out of the gerbera species for that. So we started to collect with so-called plant hunters, botanical species all around the world, and we started breeding. And after about 15 years of breeding, in 2009, we've introduced for the first time the product Garvinia. We gave it a special brand name. We started in 2009 with introducing these in the market. And I think, technically speaking, it's a unique product. The only difficulty, or maybe the biggest difficulty we see, is that for people to understand that this is, it looks like a gerbera, but it's a complete different genetics, and you can use it for outdoors. It's a big challenge to change the perception of people on such a product.
Well, we've worked together a bit on that, but I think once we will start to grow them, I mean, I've cut more than 60 flowers from one plant in a really good container, well looked after. If you go to the supermarket and buy a bunch of gerbera, you know, having one or two pots on the back doorstep, which provides you with a bunch or two of flowers every fortnight, it's pretty good value, isn't it?
Very much. And how many plants do you know, Peter? And you're a very big expert, as everybody knows. How many perennial plants do you know that start to flower in April and continue to flower till the first frost, non-stop, continuously? And you mentioned 60 flowers. I know people, of course, under ideal conditions, that even achieve more flowers than that. And that is pretty amazing. And if you look in the garden, to have in every time of the year such a color being present, that is quite unique. I think there is not so many products like that.
You've also got a very large flowered variety that we can grow on patios.
Yeah, within the Garvinia lines, when we introduced them in 2009, I think that is with every breeder. You see those products as your babies, as your kids, and you think they're amazing, and you imagine that the whole world is waiting for such a product. But as I said, it is not so easy to change the perception of people, so we had quite a lot of work done, and in there, Peter, you also helped us a lot and gave a lot of input by informing people with the school project we did together in there, by also training the kids not only to use plants, but also to like them and to see what they can do. But in time to come, we also realize that we have a better possibility to explain people what the product is if they are also becoming more visually attractive. So we started to breed for bigger flowers in the Garvinias and with stronger colors. And that's why we developed the Sweet series 3 years ago. And we see that is now taking off in a very nice way, because it is visually attractive. And people take it away from the garden centre much more easy, because they already like the product when they see it.
Well, the Birmingham Parks people had a tremendous show of them at the Gardeners World Live exhibition in Birmingham recently. I mean, the colours were just outstanding.
You have the very strong colours. And of course, in other plants, you also sometimes have a nice colour, but not such a nice range. And I think that's also one of the nice aspects of the Garvinia.
But you also have a large flowered kind for patio pots. I'm thinking of varieties like Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Now, what do you call those?
We call those patio gerberas. But Peter, these are, in fact, when we started with them, these are selections out of our cut flower assortment. So in our selection of cut flower varieties, we selected plants that were more compact and bringing more flowers at the same time. So they are splendid, giving a fantastic performance in the garden. But you have to realize it's really a patio plant, because they are a bit more sensitive compared to the Garvinia. They're not hardy, and you have to take care for them and protect them from strong wind and strong rain, because they're just a bit more sensitive. But they make such an impression on your veranda or patio or on your terrace. Yeah, it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Well, when I was watching the BBC Two TV program from Gardeners World Live, I was interested to see that they actually opened the program titles with a close-up of that picture of Grand Canyon, a pinkish variety with what I call a rayonet centre, a sort of rounded centre. I mean, it looked absolutely stunning.
It's really a nice product, and everywhere where we bring some plants, and I also have some plants again here at the HTA, you will see the people, how many pictures they take of such plants. It seems like an eye-opener for a lot of people. They don't imagine this is possible to put outside.
And then you have another story, which I was surprised to hear about. The gerbera flowers are very good at cleaning the air. I mean, there was work done in the States, wasn't there, with satellite travel, with things.
Yeah, maybe I can correct you a small bit, if I may, Peter, but it is actually the plant doing it. Not the flower, but the plant doing it. Let's say the leaves, that is the fabric of the plant, and these are indeed cleaning the air. And this is a research done by NASA in 98. In which they are most probably for space requirements for future, checking on which plants are purifying the air. Mostly the formaldehydes which are in the air, are there plants who can clean them? And they did some research and they found out several type of plants are doing it, mostly green plants. But there is one flowering plant in the list, and that's the gerbera. And it was, I don't say neglected, but we didn't do a lot with it till 2 years ago, maybe also because of the public opinion and all the trends which are happening at the moment. But we've redone all the research with the university in Holland, in the University of Leiden, to test in which way indeed the gerbera is purifying the air. And it is found out that there are two green plants which are purifying the air better, but of all the flowering plants, it is by far the best purifying plant that is available at the moment. And we think it is the right time to spread out that message and to tell to people, but also to retailers and to all people in the whole channel, what a beautiful product, not only by looking at it, because emotionally, of course, a flowering plant is also bringing you something, but besides that, besides the fact that it's beautiful, it's also purifying the air. And I think that is unique, and we are going to start making campaigns to inform as many people as we can on this unique aspect of this gerbera pot plant.
Marcel, every strength to your elbow. What a wonderful job, eh? Breeding and introducing and selling in great numbers plants which are beautiful to look at and actually clean the air we breathe. Just casting my eye down the calendar, I see it's the Hampton Court Palace Flower Show on the 4th of July. That's usually a pretty good show for the family. Got plenty of space there and you can drive and park as long as you can make the traffic from the M25. And so that should be a pretty good show. There's the Norfolk County Show too, just for the last day. For those of you who don't want to make the trek to Hampton Court. I was interested to hear that the late Harry Dobson, he's the fellow who did the TV program on the Victorian Kitchen Garden. It was immensely popular. He showed a whole year of how things used to be grown in those fabulous wall gardens in Victorian times. Well, you know, he's been dead for 14 years and they've just found his ashes in the shed at the Victorian Garden. How sad is that? Except that I understand from Jim Buttress that Harry would have been happy enough. He spent so many years in that shed, he would have been amused to think that his ashes also stayed there for about 14 years, and they are at last going to give him a proper burial. I remember Harry very well. What a charming old fellow he was. Yeah, boy, he could grow stuff. Rest in peace, Harry, in your wall garden. Thanks again to our sponsors, Thompson and Morgan. And thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.